to work on your ideas and to do that thing that you're here for. I mean, don't you feel like there's one thing that you do better than most people that you know? You might have a book idea or an article or business idea or any number of things that you know deep down. I mean, what's the old saying? You're totally unique, just like everybody else, just like a snowflake. I mean, yes, we're all alike, and yes, we're probably more alike in our ability to waste time and procrastinate and put off good ideas. You know, we all tend to be afraid of risks and although you don't have to advertise, I'm going to write the world's great book, greatest book, I'm going to cure cancer and build a new mousetrap in the same day. But I think that there is, and I personally love, you know, these speakers that tour the country and they do this, you know, you go to hear these people, you hear them on TV and they're inspirational speakers. I love those type of, to listen to a good one, but most of them are really not that good like anything else. But I would just say maybe me just throwing this out today, you know, kind of encourages somebody to do something that is very important for them to do. And we can all change the future. Can't change the past after all, but anyway, this is for whoever, maybe this is for, I think about this stuff all the time, and probably because I've got a lot of stuff that I aspire to do that I don't really ever necessarily put down. When I used to write articles, I would always have ideas and I, you know, jot down some notes and then I do it. It's once a week kind of a thing, but I had this sense of achievement and I was putting out ideas there. Sometimes I get letters back, and say that the person would thank me or whatever, but, you know, a lot of times these things are kind of stillborn, you know, and nobody really kind of contacts you. But my point is, there is something that you're supposed to be doing, something that makes you special, some idea, some task. Yeah, I couldn't even define it for you because to try to define it would, of course, be silly. Each person has something that they're very good at. I would challenge you to think about going and getting to work and how much time do we waste every day on social media? I mean, I used to not watch any TV and then I thought people talk about The Walking Dead and they, you know, all these great shows out there. And I started watching some of this stuff and then I'm thinking, you know, later, gosh, I don't really feel like I have enough time to do stuff. And I realized, well, I'm watching all these stupid cable shows. So I'm trying to get that out of my life. But the main thing is, and I cannot stress this enough, there's something that you're supposed to be doing that you've either evolved into being able to do it or you were created with this capability. And it might be something that could change the world. Maybe not. Maybe it'll just change you and your family and your community. But put down the notes for that book and start writing it. For heaven's sakes, these days you can publish it on Kindle without having to pass it through a publisher and an agent and everything. So get to it. Make a note. Keep a notebook in your pocket for ideas. But we're living in desperate times. I bring this up because really we're living in desperate times. We have no idea what the future holds. It seems like there's so many changes out there. And something that we took for granted yesterday may not even exist tomorrow. And as the pace of change increases, the peril, a word I find that I've been using quite a bit recently, the peril of everyday life increases. We've got terrorist attacks. We've got a fragile economy. We've got politicians who seem like some of them need to be institutionalized. We've got changing world circumstances. So the only thing that you can do, the only thing that you have control over is yourself, is your time. And if you're sitting there saying, well, I would do this thing that I wanted to do except for A, B, C, and D. You're letting external circumstances control your life. So anyway, let's just throw that out there. I don't know if I would be in a very effective, inspirational speaker. I may be too cynical, but I do know that when I read about the lives of people who have changed the world, you would be amazed at how many failures they have. And you would be astonished at the things they go through. And sometimes they do something great, and then there's a, they end up bankrupt or whatever. So it doesn't mean that you're going to be living happily ever after. But what it does mean is you've got. Listen, I can tell you from somebody who's gone after just a few of my dreams, writing and trying to be on the radio and stuff. It does change your life if you go after your dreams. It makes you happier, even if you fail. I mean, I remember the first few articles I just poured my heart out into it and tried to get published. And if you're not a published author, when you're sending people stuff, they're like, who is this? You know, allow me to line my garbage can with this. But when you start getting published or you start doing whatever it is, you get your first book draft done, you're going to think, you know, my life seems a lot more fulfilling. It just, I don't know. I feel like my life doesn't feel so accidental right now. It feels like there's a purpose. And, you know, especially for goodness sakes, if you're a religious person, you feel like you've been called to something, get to it. All right. So I just got a text here. Morning, Kelly. What's up? Sounds like you were up all night, right? All right. So, start off the day with an insult from a text. But anyway. Maybe there's one person out there that needed to hear that. But all right, so get to a few stories here for you. Zika survivor could feel my skin shrinking. I mean, I think this person just accused me of being on heroin or whatever. But anyway, riding the white horse. Either that, or it's an even more profound insult. The person with Zika had a temperature of 110, rash all over body. How do you, seriously, don't you die after like 105 or 106? And apparently not, because the person is alive and kicking and talking about how their skin was shrinking. Maybe their head shrank. Maybe when you get Zika, you become a, you know, like one of those pinheads, the shrunken heads. You heard that the Apple, they cracked the Apple with a hacker. Why didn't they just go get a hacker? Clinton Foundation pays male execs 38% more than women. People are concerned that Obama is meddling with the Hillary Clinton thing. But of course, you know, Obama is, yeah, speaking of which, is visiting from another planet like Superman. The rules don't apply to him. University cancels Greek event over pro-Trump graffiti. Here's something to make you feel better at night. 29 German soldiers have joined ISIS. Army may be littered. The German army may be littered with jihadist sympathizers. Maybe you're bringing in a million of these people in 1 year into your country, and you're thinking that there might be a few sympathizers out there. What are they supposed to sympathize with? Another 9,000 migrants are missing all across Europe. They're having the problem of they've got these Muslim refugees. They don't know where they're from, and they don't know their backgrounds. They're paperless people. Therefore, they don't know what they believe. They don't know what they've done in the past. They don't know if they're jihadists, but they know some of them are, and probably and maybe a lot larger number than they would ever hope to be, because if Islam can bring down Europe, which they almost did in the 700s, if they were able to bring that down, could you imagine the euphoria that they would feel? They basically stopped all, you know, civilization. All right, so we'll take a little break here and come back and give you some news. And I don't know, I feel a little different today. You know, I honestly, you might be shocked about this, but I sometimes really get sick of politics and feel like there's more interesting things to talk about. I mean, we're living in days where every single story that comes out is, you know, all of these stories about Trump and Cruz are very interesting to follow because, you know, you never know that something that Trump does or Cruz does is just might shatter what's left of the GOP, and the GOP is fighting for its life. The GOP is fighting for its life like a drowning person. It's fighting with the people that would try to save it and bring it onto shore and to evolve it. And it's got Trump and around the neck in a chokehold, taking him under the surface time after time. So we'll see what happens. 620 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450 and 805-6180. Well, we do have one weird story out there, which is a 72-year-old lady 72-year-old lady was saved by her dog in the Arizona backwoods. Didn't know there was any woods in Arizona, but all right, so I'll have that story for you in a minute. Here is softball-sized hail causing damage in Southern Plains. Check this out.
This hail in Wylie, Texas, I mean, this just really makes you say, wow, not just the size of the hail, but the fact that the wind is blowing this long. Look at that in the background there by the tree, just bouncing all over the place. And Bowie, Texas, so that was Wylie, Texas. This is Bowie, Texas. Windows getting busted out on vehicles. So you know the insurance companies are getting a lot of calls from this. It's just no fun to be in the midst of this. Hail and glass everywhere. And unfortunately, some of the storms that we saw over into Arkansas brought so much lightning, they could have sparked at least two large fires. One of them, this large church as you in the town of El Dorado. Luckily, nobody was injured in the fires, but these people, their place of worship is totally gone. So it really is a sad story. We also had a Texas woman who was killed after losing control of her car during the wet conditions. Here's a look at all of the hail reports that we saw coming out of Monday. It is really just wild to see such a large swath. And the fact that so much of this was large softball size hail too. We've got more hail potential lining up into Texas for Tuesday. So be careful out there.
From Lubbock all the way over to Shreveport and up to Oklahoma City, just amazing. And there's pictures of this aftermath, Wylie, Texas, a house with all of its windows smashed out. So the lady was talking about not just hail coming down, but you could see that these extreme winds were blowing it sideways. So if you can imagine that. They lost a church, but it doesn't say in the Bible there's going to be hail the size of canned hams or something. All right, so here's a little bit on this triple threat of severe thunderstorms, flooding, rain, heavy snows, et cetera. Wow, got it. Got the whole weather menu here. Check it out.
We've entered into a bit of a flash drought across parts of the plains where things have just dried up very quickly thanks to almost no rain in 2 months. And unfortunately, all that dry vegetation you see there, that is fuel for wildfires. We've seen a number of them break out due to the lack of rainfall, but there is significant relief on the way. Unfortunately, it means that we might just go the opposite direction. But this Omega block that's setting up, basically, we just have this influx of moisture that's going to be able to pull in out of the Gulf of Mexico, and that low will be stuck over the plains, meaning that we get days and days of moisture, and we could see some flooding as a result. Now, you're going to stay dry.
All right, the Omega setup here is from Texas over to the coast, the West Coast. We're stuck on a low. The center of the country from Texas on up through Middle America or Mid-America, deep moisture. And then from, say, Illinois and Louisiana over, dry. That's what she's talking about.
In the east, but in the southeast. Especially Louisiana, and then stretching up into the northern plains, flooding is a real concern.
And today you've got a thunderstorm forecast, big thunderstorm forecast from Midland up to North Platte in Nebraska, Amarillo, Dodge City, et cetera. So to the right of Denver and Pueblo. Now in New Mexico, we do have some thunderstorms, not severe thunderstorms, except for the far right of the state. And so it looks like there's going to be rain, but it's not. Doesn't look like it's down here. And then going on through the week, it looks like we're going to have a fair amount of rain. So, but up in those areas, not supposedly down here, and snow potential down into New Mexico as well. So. A lot of strange weather out there. And, well, let's take a break, and I will find this story about this woman who was saved by her dog. 629 Kelly O'Connell, I am Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. If there is one thing you could change about yourself, and I mean besides your underwear, what would it be? Think about that. In conjunction with the opening today, 523-1450 to call in and 805-6180. You text it in. What would you change? We'll be back. you might want to change the music. But this is a song by Al Stewart, Running Man. All right, so there's this story about this lady. It's a grandmother, and she got stranded. Check this out, in Arizona. But her dog led her to safety, but he waited 9 days to do so. Good thing it wasn't the summer, huh?
Right now, that we've been following for you in the last hour. This is a live look at the woman. We were sharing her incredible survival story with you earlier this hour. She was saved after 9 days lost in the Arizona wilderness. Let's listen into what she has to say.
It was very cold, below freezing, every single night at that elevation. Therefore, I had to go equipped with a fire means. I had a fire lighter with me. I had a Nutella jar with me, which became my water vessel. I had plenty of water in the car, but after breaking down and spending the night and the next day, and then camping halfway down from the highest mesa I could get to, because I climbed up there to try and get some kind of cell phone communication going. Nothing. I had binoculars with me, and everywhere I looked, there were nothing having to do with human habitation in sight. Nothing. Not a ranch. Nothing.
I'm sure that this woman's mental health was not affected by this. All right, so here's a summary of this before she goes into a prophecy. Grandmother stranded in the desert for 9 days. ABC News.
Tonight, a grandmother stranded for 9 days in the Arizona desert. ABC's Clayton Sandell on what she did that saved her.
72-year-old Ann Rogers was driving to Phoenix to visit her grandkids when she and her dog got lost somewhere in the wilderness of eastern Arizona.
There was no cell phone communication, no people coming by.
So on day one, they set out on foot to get a better cell signal and call for help. Not a single clue until day nine, this past Saturday, when Rogers' dog is spotted and the search is back in high gear.
I wrote help with big white sticks and rocks. I need food badly.
Finally, they find her.
When they landed, I was sitting there sobbing, and the officer came over and just held me while I sobbed and let me know that my dog Queenie was safe too.
She tells rescuers she and her dog survived all that time by drinking pond water and eating plants.
And David, after all that, Rogers was taken to a hospital where she was treated for exposure to the elements, but was released that same night, and today already back out for a hike. David?
All right. We're glad she's okay. Clayton, thank you.
Sounds like it worked out for her. Maybe she'll move out into the outwoods. All right. So a little bit of sports news here for you. The Warriors tied the Bulls for the best record in the history of the NBA. Check this out.
They defeat San Antonio 92-86 to become the second team in NBA history to reach the 72-win mark in a single season, of course tying the 95-96 Bulls win record and also handing San Antonio their first home loss of the season. Our NBA writer Zach Harper joins me on the phone right now. So, Zach, not only did they tie the NBA record, they did so against the Spurs. Significant is this win, you know, not just in a historical perspective, but the playoffs are just around the corner.
Yeah, well, historically, it's really cool. I mean, not the second team in NBA history to win 72. You have to feel pretty decent about their chances to get number 73 later this week. And it comes against the Spurs team that has been pushing them all season long. So that had to have felt good. And then moving forward, you know, I think if you're the Spurs, you were already worried about the Warriors, but you've played four games. You played three of them really well, but in none of those games have you done well offensively. They have struggled so much to score against this Warriors defense, and that's probably what they wanted to really test and prove to themselves, that you could score on this defense. And it worked a little bit early on, but quickly the Warriors just kind of locked them down. And so moving into a seven-game series, assuming these teams face each other in the Western Conference Finals, if you're the Spurs, even if you're the Spurs and you're Greg Popovich, you've got to be worried about not having enough offense to beat the Warriors four times in seven games.
Obviously, yes. Yeah. So anyway, we'll look forward to that. All right. So I've got a fair dose of this since this is Weird Wednesday, a little bit off the beaten path. I've got some good weird stories for you. I found so anyway, there's this guy by the name of Heinrich Himmler, Hank Himmler, and he was a very, very important person to the Nazis, and they just found a cache of his books, which included a lot of books on witchcraft. Now, this is very interesting. You could say, you know, obviously Hitler had a lot of mental problems, but in addition to not having, what did they say? He had a malformed male organ and was missing a testicle, I think. Anyway, but Hank Himmler had had this aspiration of the, he took a trip into the Himalayas to find the origin of the Aryan Aryan people, and they were involved in all kinds of occult related activity. They wanted to find the Sword of Destiny, what was called the Sword of Destiny, and the Holy Grail and all kinds of different stuff. They weren't Christians, but they believed in, and that's been a big debate, but there is nothing Christian about the Nazi policies, obviously. And further, I just find it weird that someone would claim the Nazis who are trying to kill God's people were Christian. But anyway, they had a lot of occult interests, and I think that they were people that found certain things in history and put in their own meaning into them. But they were ultimately trying to build a nation that had no contact with the Bible and that was reformatted on pagan spirituality. And so they were going to get rid of the Bible, and that's why they were going to get, one of the reasons they were going to get rid of the Jews and that they locked up a lot of Christians is they wanted to get rid of people of the book because these individuals had an outside or an outside of Germany source of authority. So anyway, we'll take a break and come back and talk about that a little bit. But I got a lot of weird stories for you. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450, 805-6180.
Before the fun hit the speed run, you hide a voice to the door. The voice that cannot while you can. Just 10 minutes, nothing more. Time for only the ascension. Better gather them and run. For staying inside the plant. For the gold bars and the guns and once again.
All right, here is a let me give you first some news from the world of astrophysics and everything. They're planning on building an interstellar spacecraft, and they're sending robots out into deep space. So this is this story, and it's involving Stephen Hawking as well. So here is a little clip from Rolling Stone magazine.
2016 may be shaping up historically as the 1491 of space discovery. A team of astrophysicists from UC Berkeley founded a new interstellar exploration called Breakthrough Listen. The project is funded by Russian venture capitalist Yuri Milner and includes a 450-foot tall telescope in West Virginia that listens for radio signals from other life forms. If successful, the $100 million project will answer the question, are we alone in the universe? Scientists now estimate that there are at least 200 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy, and perhaps 100 billion galaxies in the universe. Last year, astronomers found evidence of briny water on Mars and located a distant exoplanet named Kepler-452b. According to senior astronomer Seth Shostak, quote, even if only one in a million worlds is good enough to develop intelligent life, there are a trillion planets in the galaxy, which would mean a million worlds with intelligent life. though we may not have contacted any little green men yet, the scientists at Breakthrough Listen are hoping to rewrite history like that of Christopher Columbus.
All right, so do you believe in life and outer space? You believe there's something out there besides just planets and suns and galaxies, et cetera? Do you think there's people living out there? 523-1450-805-6180 to text in. All right, here is a little bit more on this attempt to find life out in the solar system, out in the deep space.
Back then, I was deeply affected by his...
This is this venture capitalist.
The limit that confronts us now is the great void between us and the stars.
This is Stephen Hawking speaking through his vocoder. Stephen Hawking is a famous scientist, supposed to be the most brilliant astrophysicist. And he's got a degenerative disease. He cannot speak. He cannot. He's in a wheelchair, that super high tech wheelchair. Anyway, here he is sharing his thoughts.
But now we can transcend it. With light beams, light sails, and the lightest spacecraft ever built, we can launch a mission to Alpha Centauri within a generation.
This is home. But for most of our history, we knew only our cradle in the corner. We awakened on this tiny world beneath the blanket of stars, without a note.
We strongly believe that there are no scientific challenges anymore. We know that given the current state of technology, it can be done in the lifetime of a generation.
Pictures of deep space. So anyway, going out to Alpha Centauri, and the fact of the matter is that they're trying to find life out there, but there is some debate. Recent analysis has come out saying that we might be the only planet with habitable conditions in the entire universe. And other people believe that there are, like they just said, millions of planets or a million planets out there. There is a presupposition that's kind of baked into the cake on this one, is that evolution happened here, and given the right conditions in other parts of the universe, evolution happened there. If evolution didn't happen, then maybe we're all alone. Or if it did happen, maybe it just happened here. But here's a little bit more on this. Stephen Hawking, his interstellar travel project, backed by a Russian tech billionaire.
A Russian billionaire has enlisted physicist Stephen Hawking to help him launch a futuristic plan for seeking life in outer space. Called the Breakthrough Starshot mission, it envisages a mothership launching thousands of minute spacecraft into space, which will then use lasers from Earth to travel at 20% of the speed of light to the nearest star system. Yuri Milner and Stephen Hawking see it as an achievable challenge.
With light beams, light sails, and the lightest spacecraft ever built, we can launch a mission to Alpha Centauri within a generation. Today, we commit to this next great leap into the cosmos, because we are human, and our nature is to fly.
The spacecraft will be the size of a chip used in electronic devices, a nanoship. Using current technology, it would take about 30,000 years to get to the nearest star system. It's hoped that with more research, it might be possible to cut that journey time to just 30.
Wow, pretty ambitious there. And here's a little bit more on the idea of launching a bunch of mini ships and guiding them and propulsing them with lasers.
Yet when you cross lasers, tiny space probes, and billions of dollars, well, hopefully a ton of information about Alpha Centauri, the closest star system to our own. Yuri Milner and Stephen Hawking have announced a new project called Breakthrough Starshot. They want to send light-propelled spacecraft flying through space at 100 million miles per hour, reaching Alpha Centauri in around 20 years. astrophysicist Jonathan McDowell says it'd take a whole lot longer with current technology.
The Voyagers are heading out toward the stars. They're going to take 20,000 years to get there. That's not acceptable. And we're talking about putting something 1,000 times faster than any human artifact has ever gone.
The so-called nanocraft will make their way to space in a rocket. Once there, they'll unfurl their light sails and rely on high-power lasers on Earth to begin to push them toward Alpha Centauri. Before Milner and Hawking can make this happen, they've got to test it. That's what Breakthrough Starshot's for. It's meant to prove the plan could really work, so other organizations will take the next step. If it's proven to work, scientists could eventually send thousands of data-gathering probes called starships to collect loads of information, including pictures, from our neighboring star. For Newsy, I'm Micah Sargent.
These little chips, these little chip crafts are maybe an inch and a half by an inch and a half, you know, so very, very creative idea. All right, here, I've got a little clip for you. Nazi chief Heinrich Hank Himmler, 13,000 occult books stash found in Prague. The ominous music first, pictures of the swastika, Hank Himmler in the background.
A collection of 13,000 occult and witchcraft books has been found recently in the National Library of the Czech Republic in Prague. It belonged to Heinrich Himmler, an SS Nazi chief. The collection was forgotten in the library since at least the 1950s. According to the Daily Mail, the Norwegian Masonic researcher Bjørn Helge Harald said that the books had been mostly stolen and collected during World War II. The collection contains texts connected with witchcraft and occultism. Some of the volumes are very rare. The value of all of the books is unknown.
Hey, it's Kelly.
They were gathered as the Nazis were searching everywhere for texts connected with magic and tried to accumulate everything in one place. Some of the books were taken from the Norwegian Order of Freemasons in Oslo.
Yes, can you talk to me, please, or call back later?
Oh, sure. Sure, Kelly. What? I can hear you okay.
But what are you calling about?
In 1935, the SS created a special section called H. Sunder Commando.
Jim, let me put you on a hold. Jim, listen to me, please. Let me put you on a hold and I'll bring you back, okay?
The occult and the supernatural. They sought the information amongst at least 260 libraries and archives. The work took place from 1935 to 1944. As a result, they accumulated the greatest concentrated collection on witches and their persecution in medieval Germany. This was the largest survey of witch trial records to be found in the history of Europe.
Okay, so as I was saying, these I'll get into this a little bit more later, but the Nazis, it'll take a little while to explain what they were trying to do, if that's even possible. But we have a call from Jim, and Jim, thank you for calling. And you wanted to mention something about interstellar space travel.
Yeah, Kelly, I was just listening to what you were playing there, and Stephen Hawking and the Russian astronaut, astrophysicist.
Well, he's a Russian tech billionaire.
Okay. Well, anyway, my comment would be, and I'll get off here. In order to do what they're doing, you have to kind of go back to the origin of the Bible. And when you do away with that, then of course you do away with all of the ability to use common sense. But when the creation was mentioned in the Bible, if you have to believe that, it says God created the heavens and the earth.
Okay.
He didn't say earths.
All right. Okay. So, well, but I mean, what if God created another planet and had another history and people and another Bible, and, you know, Jesus went over there too?
We would know that because it's infallible that he would deceive or lie. God does not deceive or lie.
Well, wait a minute. Jim. What if he did it over in Alpha Centauri or some other place and didn't tell us because we didn't need to know about it?
I think that's where faith comes in, that we have to believe what we have
Wait a second. Jim, there's no logical deduction that says that this Bible, this earth, is the only one that could be out there. What if God just said these people don't need, it'll freak them out, they don't need to know about this?
Well, you know, it comes down to where in Scripture, I can't place it, but it can be traced back. I should have looked at it. It says, in the end, all things will be made known to all men.
But nothing, Jim, I'm going to challenge you to rethink your position. There's nothing in the Bible that I'm aware of that says there couldn't be another set of people somewhere else. I'm not saying there are, by the way, but you're not really putting across a persuasive position, in my opinion. But we're out of time. Call back in the next hour. We're going to continue on. Thanks for the call.
Real quickly, it doesn't say we are either. So, yeah.
Well, no. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, folks. We'll take you out on a break here, and we're going to come back and talk about the Nazis. I think this song is actually about an escaped Nazi. I'm not kidding.
You wish a little more than you could ask. What you want from me, what you need from me. There's no rest for the rough, why can't you let him be? It's a long and twisting journey from
Well, it's Kelly here, and just getting into some Nazi stuff, which is fascinating, of course, on its face, because we're fascinated by the things that are so evil, and we try to figure out what would motivate people to, for example, want to kill an entire race of individuals, and some of the weird beliefs, and so, you know, a lot of people assume that Hitler was insane. Now, I don't know that anyone ever gave him a full workup, psychological workup, but, and this is Weird Wednesday, by the way, which is why I'm getting into this. And I was talking to my sister, and my sister loves Art Bell, and she was, you know, a Coast to Coast George Norrie. She doesn't like George Norrie, but she loves Art Bell, who had, he had, done the, original, and is a very interesting guy to listen to. He looks like he's got a great voice and delivery. He looks like, though, a Chihuahua that's had a near death experience. That's the best way I can describe it. But anyway, she would say it would be great. We were talking about the show. She was asking how it's doing. I said it's going along. She said, well, have you ever thought about doing, you know, a show maybe once a week to talk about paranormal stuff? Because I said, you know, when I do things on the paranormal, it seems like I get more calls, more feedback. People are kind of fascinated by UFOs and this type of thing. And she says, why don't you do once a week? So I'm thought, you know, that's a good idea, you know? So that was kind of the genesis of this. Plus it gets us out of this political cycle that is so, I don't know. I just kind of get burned out on it, even though, it is an extremely interesting event that's going on right now. You can overdo it. All right. So what did the Nazis believe, and why did they do what they did? And I've read where one historian said, you know, there was only one centerpiece of Nazism, and that was anti-Jewish, the anti-Jewish nature. Everything bad in Germany was blamed on the Nazis. And it's too bad Mike isn't still around. Apparently he's not within earshot of my voice, or he'd call in and unleash the hounds, and then get into the synagogue of Satan for a little bit. His favorite Betanois is his black beast. And but anyway, the question is, what motivated these people? And it was a hodgepodge of ideas, one of which was getting rid of the Jews to cure the German problems. But another one was a fascination with the occult, and in addition to that, creating a new religion. So they weren't Christian, of course, but any successful politician is going to dip into the religious sentiments of the people that he's talking to and try to bring out the imagery. Now, these Nazis were absolutely fascinated with religious relics, such as the Holy Grail, the Sword of Destiny. You remember that in this movie with Harrison Ford, where these Nazis were, I think they had found the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was the thing that they put the Ten Commandments in and carried it around, and that they had opened it up, and then this blinding, you know, spiritual energy came out and melted everybody. So that does reflect the fact that they thought if they could get their hands on this stuff, they could make an undefeatable army, because they weren't really religious. They were superstitious. And like all superstitious people, they saw power in objects and in certain things that would have been really disconnected from God, but kind of tied into the primitive forces of the universe. So anyway, Hank Himmler was more, I'm calling him Hank Himmler because of this funny scene out of Fletch Lives, where he introduces himself as Hank Himmler to a bunch of KKK members. He's making fun of them, and they don't really realize it. But Henry Himmler was the right-hand man. He was like the assistant Fuhrer, and he was absolutely fascinated with the occult. And so what he wanted, and it's no surprise that he had these 13,000 books in Prague that were, they just discovered this cache, because what these guys were trying to do was study the occult happenings of the past and try to figure out where the secret power was. So anyway, here I've got a little clip, The Occult History of the Third Reich, Himmler the Mystic. Himmler was going, took a, this is unbelievable. I've got a whole book on this. He took a, or sent off an expedition into the Himalayas, the highest mountains in the world, because they had this belief that the Aryan race, who they claimed to want to bring back and recreate an ancient Nordic Germanic religion, get rid of Christianity, Judaism, everything else, they were going to go up and find the roots of Aryanism and rebuild mankind, womankind. But check this out.
Nazi Germany, a state in which children have become a national obsession. Hitler has proclaimed it must be considered reprehensible to withhold healthy children from the nation. If the fertility of the healthiest bearers of the nationality is consciously and systematically promoted, the result will be a race which has eliminated the germs of our present physical and hence spiritual decay. By 1934, a year after the Nazi seizure of power in Germany, Himmler has firmly established the entry requirements for membership of his SS. The SS Race and Resettlement Bureau investigates the racial ancestry of every applicant to advise him in his search for the religion of the ancient Teutonic tribes. Himmler has recruited into the SS a renowned Germanic occultist, a man whose claim is to be the last in a long line of Aryan priest kings. On December the 14th, 1934, Himmler orders the formation of an SS military detachment, the SSVT. In December 1935, Himmler had founded the project which would remain his obsession for almost 10 years. He calls it the Lebensborn, the spring of life. In Mein Kampf, Hitler had written, "We begin where we left off 600 years ago. We put an end to the perpetual Germanic march to the south and west of Europe and turn our eyes towards the lands of the east." With Heinrich Himmler, Grand Master of the SS Order, in supreme authority, with SS nobles ruling as the feudal overlords of Germanic settlers, the Order will return to its millennial mission.
And that millennial mission was to find the roots of Aryanism and rebuild it, rebuild this great Aryan nation so that they could repeople the Germanic lands. And I don't know if you recall when I had my friend, the guy from Washington who had written the book on Nazi Oaks, but there is this element of the worship of the land, which I believe is called Lebensborn. But there's this idea that you have to return the German lands to the German people. And it was an absolute, it was like the Green Movement now. So kind of weird how history repeats itself a little bit. 7:15, we'll take a break and come back. Absolutely fascinating stuff we just discovered. Hank Himmler had a library of 13,000 volumes, mostly of witchcraft. And he studied these things, a very smart guy. He looked like an accountant. He looked, had very mild features and wore, circular glasses that were completely round but he was a bloodthirsty guy just like Hitler trying to rebuild the human race to save humanity. And in doing so, almost destroyed the entire world. 7:16 a.m. Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in. And 805-6180, we're going to get a little bit more into this Nazi occultism.
Before the fun hit the receiver, you're halfway to the door. There's a voice that get out while you can. Just 10 minutes, nothing more. Time for only the essential. Better gather them and run. False name inside the past. But the ghost falls and the gunman once again steps them out of the park.
All right, so here is just a little bit more. Here's a little bit on the master race, because that is a term that's been thrown around so much with the Nazis. What did it mean? What were they trying to do?
Obsessed with the idea of creating a...
All right, so let me get this back to the very start. This, she says Hitler was obsessed with the master race.
Hitler was obsessed with the idea of creating a blonde, blue-eyed master race that he believed was destined to rule the world. This Aryan race led to the creation of a sinister breeding program during World War II. Founded on December 12, 1935, the Lebensborn, or Spring of Life program, was implemented by Hitler's right-hand man, Heinrich Himmler, who once said, "Should we succeed in establishing this Nordic race and from this seedbed produce a race of 200 million, then the world will belong to us." The Lebensborn program was very elitist. It required women to prove their Aryan lineage back to their grandparents. And if admitted, the women were given housing, access to the best doctors, and the Nazis even offered honorary cards, which would allow them to cut ahead in shopping lines and receive various discounts on other services. Kind of like a AAA card. There were 14 Lebensborn clinics scattered throughout Germany and Austria, and 9 in Norway, where German soldiers were encouraged to mate with women of Viking blood. Clinics also spread to France, Belgium, the Netherlands, Poland, and Luxembourg. About 20,000 babies were born in clinics in Germany and Norway, but due to the program's secrecy, there are countless more. Most children born in these clinics were not told the circumstances of their births, and their mothers hid the identities of their fathers. Some were even given up for adoption. But aside from realizing Hitler's dream of creating an Aryan race, the breeding program was actually incredibly pragmatic, designed to turn around a declining birth rate in Germany. With men away at war, there was a disproportionate number of unmarried women. So the program enabled these women to get pregnant out of wedlock without the usual social stigma. After the war ended, most documentation relating to the Lebensborn program was destroyed. And growing up, many children born to the women in the program faced persecution and thus kept quiet about their Nazi heritage. Now more than 60 years old, many are finally starting to go public, piecing together what happened during the breeding program and seeking answers to their hidden past. One woman whose mother was Norwegian and father was a Nazi urged, "We need to find the courage to speak out in public, to tell our stories as long as we are still alive." Also still living among us are elderly Nazi war leaders, but many question if they should still be persecuted. Click here to find out why.
All right, so that's a little bit on the Nazi fixation with the Aryan race now. Himmler had done his research and had decided that the Aryan nation came from the Himalayas. Why he decided that, I couldn't really tell you. Something he was, you know, a kind of a scholarly person, or at least he was deep into his research. Now, here's a little bit in general on Hitler and the occult, and this is from the National Geographic channel. And at 7:22 on the 13th.
The world knows how the Third Reich ended. Few know how it began.
By the time that Hitler was born, there was a new wave of spiritualism.
Mystics, now forgotten by history, conjure visions of a master race and foresee peril from other races. Occult fanatics who rewrote history and invented science.
It's Kelly, who's this?
When Hitler seizes power, the occult follows right into his inner circle.
Hess was a fanatic for astrology and occultism.
You have Goebbels with his propaganda.
Hello, can you hear me?
Himmler in charge of the FS.
Can you hear me?
Himmler, a mass murderer convinced he was an ancient king.
Can you hear me?
Reincarnated.
Hello, can
what
you hear me?
What kind of vision could turn humans into guinea pigs, turn mortals into supermen, and turn a myth into a nightmare? history's darkest chapter has a hidden side.
Hey, this is Kelly. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? This is Kelly. Hold on
this
just
is a
second.
Story from World War
hold on.
I.
I'll put you on hold. Hold on.
September 28th, 1918.
Here, we have a phone call. I can't hear the person, so thanks for the call. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Steve. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. I couldn't hear you. I think I've said this to people before, but if I'm I have a small board that everything comes through, so if I'm playing a clip over the air,
okay,
it's coming through the machine, and so I can pick up the phone, but I, you know, we really can't hear each other. But what's on your mind?
Well, I'm just calling in because Germany was by the 1930s was just the center of world scholasticism. Their universities were just unbelievable.
Spectacular, yeah.
But the thing is good old Hank Himmler was an uneducated fool. He was a chicken farmer. And I think probably one of the lessons of all of this, your show, is that this is what a little education sometimes can hurt people. Because he was just unrestricted. It was all fantasy by him.
Well, you know, Steve,
there was nobody in the universities that agreed with any of his theories.
But I think this is an example of, and you can find it in the current administration and other administrations, somebody gets a connection to power like Valerie Jarrett, who is the right-hand woman of the president. She has absolutely no background in any international policy. She doesn't really know anything about national policy, but they say she has more influence than anybody.
Yeah, and she's wonderful lady from Iran, let's just say that, even if that. But anyway, you're right. It's power when the people around you are just afraid to just, you know, tell you you've got no clothes on. You cut off any kind of negative feedback, then your mind wanders and you go off on, you know, wild goose chases. But anyway, Himmler was not a scholar. He was just an uneducated chicken farmer. And that's the sort of thing about the Nazis. They weren't trained academics. They didn't have education, formal.
This guy did have a lot of books, is what I was really getting at, is that these guys collected, they've collected occult stuff, and they wanted to get the Sword of Destiny. They wanted the Holy Grail. And Nazism was a hodgepodge of, like you say, just a bunch of nonsense.
They lacked intellectual discipline and rigor.
Yeah.
They didn't test their theories. They didn't have internal theories. It was all wishful thinking.
Well,
Steve,
have you ever heard of Lysenko?
Yeah, sure, of course. He was the Russian. He came up with all kinds of idiot Soviet scientists, and he came up with some idiotic theories. And then he put them in place because he had ultimate power. And millions died because he created famines.
And so with Lysenko, Steve, hold on a second. Folks, if you call in, let's work with one another. Steve, the issue on Lysenko was, as you know, he was a scientist, and he was came up with these theories, and he kind of revived some of the discredited theories about genetics and plants and stuff. He comes up with this theory that would be favorable in the short term to the Russians, and they put it in place, and then the Chinese took over the idea as well, and it was a complete disaster, and millions, tens of millions of people died because of this bad science.
So that's what happens when you have unrestricted powers. You don't have a set of checks and balances, some negative feedback. I mean, part of modern science is you have to prove its falsibility.
Right.
That's part of what I think is a legitimate critique of climate change.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say that.
Everything they, whether it gets hot or cold, it doesn't matter. You can't disprove it because there's no fallibility to it.
Yeah, and that's
anyway,
the.
Anyway, I love your show.
Thanks,
Mr.
Steve.
Kelly, I'll sign off and wish you well.
Thanks a lot. Have a great day. All right. I think what Steve was talking about made me bring something to mind. You know, the president, in my opinion, he's not Henrik Himmler or Adolf Hitler, But he's a person of undisciplined mind. Steve was saying that, using that terminology. I think he has an undisciplined mind. And the reason that I said that is there's a recent story that came out in which they had brought to him a little booklet of a group describing a book in, or a group of people in Middle East that was, they claimed, radicalized. And they say that Obama looked at the book and said, I know that group and they're not radicals. And he refused to look at it. And that's my kind of my impression is he buys into stuff like global warming or multiculturalism, political correctness, Black Lives Matter, whatever you want to bring it up. And he doesn't really think through it. He doesn't think through the implications. Now, some people say he wants to destroy America. Other people say he wants to radically change America so much that it's unrecognizable, which might be the same as the second thing. It's, on the other hand, possible that he is well-meaning, but doesn't have the cast of mind that a leader would need. Because, you know, it's to be an American president, most powerful, influential job in the world, would take a lot of work. And he is famous, and this, I'm bringing this out of the book called The Amateur by Edward Klein. He said he is, in that book, said he was famous for making hasty decisions, and he would be somewhere and someone would come up and, you know, give him some information, and he would almost immediately make up his mind. You can't make good decisions hastily, you know. And we have another call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Jeffrey.
Morning, Jeffrey. Thanks for the call. Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
Well, I was just listening to you, and you're talking about, you know, having a disciplined mind.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that. I think that it's probably just kind of been indoctrinated within our society because there is no long-term thinking anymore. Long-term is, you know, 3 months to 3 years, and that used to be a short-term goal.
Yeah.
And people are making decisions based upon what that decision is going to do in the next 6 months. They don't look at what the repercussions are going to be 5 to 10 years from now.
Mm-hmm. And then the media is used to form popular opinion and to manipulate people into taking a stand. And if you don't accept their position, you're a laughingstock.
Yes. I mean, so, I mean, I call them the old timers, which I consider myself, I'm 44, but I still consider myself a old time thinker because I spent the biggest part of my time around elders when I was younger. And their thinking, their mindset was not, I'm not going to make a decision that's going to be based on what is here and now. My decision making is going to be based on what is it going to do for me 3 to 5, 10 years from now.
Yeah. And it was better to live in those times because it's more enjoyable to make your mind up. And, you know, what I was thinking, I was making my coffee this morning. I come down and I grind some beans every morning, part of my ritual. And I was thinking, I think of myself as a skeptic, and it's more enjoyable to be a skeptic than a true believer because you get to sit back and listen to everything, and you don't have to force yourself into taking a position. You can be an agnostic on a lot of things until you feel like you have enough information to make a decision.
Yes. I mean, and that's the whole point is even the people who are skeptic are more cautious about, okay, how is this going to affect me later? It's going to make me feel good now, but what is it going to do for me in the future?
Yeah. Yeah. It would be like living your life every night like a rock star. Every night is a new girl, a new one night stand. I mean, there would be no sense of continuity.
Well, and if you think of our founding fathers, when they wrote the Constitution, they were not thinking of how it was going to affect people right then and there because they knew it was going to be a lot of hard work, a lot of turmoil, and a lot of upset people.
Mm-hmm.
But they knew in the long run, it was going to be the best thing for America. And it had taken a long time and it has gone through a lot of growing pains, but it was one of the things that helped make America the great country that it is.
Yeah. Well, we got to fight our way back to that. I mean, you know, there's this sense with Obama seems to be like scraping and like they're about to put him in the grave where all presidents go once they get out of office, and he's kind of clawing his way out of the casket. I say that politically, but But I get this sense that Obama was so caught up in of the moment, being in the moment, and just loved to be the center of attention and always acted like he didn't. And there's something childish about the guy, but childlike maybe. But it's going to be interesting to see his life after office. I think he's going to be totally irrelevant based on how he's conducted himself.
Well, I think that I will say that is true, but I think there's going to be a part of him that 5-10 years from now that he is not going to like what he sees in the record books, because I think he will go down in the record books as one of the worst presidents that we've had.
Oh, of course. You know, they say his number one preoccupation is ESPN. That's what he says. He doesn't like to watch TV. He doesn't read. He doesn't like, because he doesn't like these strong opinions. He doesn't read. He doesn't listen to the commentators. So he's disconnected from American opinions on a lot of stuff. But he is absolutely enthralled with ESPN. Maybe he could become an anchor.
Hey, that might be a better job for him.
Yes. I'm running out of time here. Thanks for the call. Great call. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Folks, Nazism, kind of interesting, huh? So weird. Just the idea of killing somebody is, just the thought of it is so foreign to us. And, you know, you're talking about people who decided to liquidate tens of millions of people because they didn't like them. Awfully strange stuff. Where did it come from? 735 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in and get your opinion on the record, and 805-61802 text, and we'll be back to get into more Nazism. And like I say, I think the song is about, for some reason, Al Stewart, who's a brilliant writer, decided to write a sympathetic story about an escaped Nazi who's getting chased all over.
What you want from me, what you need from me, there's no rest for the running man, why can't you let him be?
Now, here's occult theories on Aryan origins, and just a little, what do they call them in the university? The warning that you could be offended. What are those called? I'll find it out on the break and bring it back to you. But I think they're called trigger warnings. This could trigger a bad feeling inside of you. Look out. Occult theories on Aryan origins, and tie this into the Nazi fixation Hitler and Himmler had with building a master race.
Early Aryans committed bestiality with low.
Hold on, let me roll this back. This is all right. There's a couple of different theories of the fall that have been used by people. One is that in the garden, in the fall of man, there's some religions that believe that Eve didn't just share an apple with the snake before he was turned into a snake, that Eve slept with Satan, and that is the origin of all of mankind's troubles. The Aryans believe that man began to breed with animals. That's where they think the race went wrong. Here, check it out.
Early Aryans committed bestiality with lower species, and this created a different branch of humanity, separate from the pure Aryans.
The fall of man, as depicted in the Bible, was actually a metaphor for Aryans interbreeding with animals.
The fall simply denoted the racial compromise of the Aryans due to wicked interbreeding with lower animal species. The consequence of these persistent sins was the creation of several mixed races, which threatened the proper and sacred authority throughout the world, especially in Germany, where this race was most numerous.
So that's where they get the idea that the Germans, in spite of the fact that they are Aryans and Persians, the Iranians are Aryans. The Indian people in India are Aryan. If you look at this language group and you embrace the whole idea, other Europeans would be Aryans, but they felt that the Teutonic subrace of the Aryan race was the most advanced, so therefore that part of the race would create Superman.
The Tool Society. Tool, the northernmost land discovered by Pythias. Tool, like Atlantis, was an island that disappeared in the northern Atlantic. The inner core of the Tool Society was an amalgam of Eastern religion, theosophy, anti-Semitism, Grail romance, and Nordic paganism, all which formed the philosophy of the Tool Society. In 1918, the Tool had 1,500 members in Bavaria. The members of the Tool Society believed that the lost civilization of the Teutons had possessed psychic abilities that were far beyond the technical achievements of the 20th century. They hoped to rediscover the secrets of this legendary civilization through occult practices. The Vril Society, made up of the Vril Maidens, a common render of the name means like God. The Vril Society, known as the All-German Society for Metaphysics, was formed in 1921 to explore the origins of the Aryan race. The Vril was primarily composed by a group of female psychic mediums, led by the Tool Gesellschaft medium Maria Orsic, who claimed to have received communication from Aryan aliens living on Alpha Tauri and the Aldebaran system in the Tarsus constellation 65 million light years away. It is said that whoever becomes master of the Vril will be master of himself, of others around him, and of the world. This society was headed up by psychic women to research into the Aryan bloodline.
So is Hillary a psychic woman trying to take over America? Just curious. All right, so let's take a little break here. And I think you get a feeling for the crazy, the absolute crazy nature of the Nazi beliefs. And you think, well, how is it that the Nazis were able to put such a phenomenal war machine together? And so the difference in between communism, which is the total ownership by the government of all stuff, all there's no private property in communism. And so in theory, people would live in communes and would just use what they needed. And fascism is where the government directs the economy, but there's still private ownership. It is much, 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 much more efficient because the people who built up these companies, like some which still survived World War II and still exist, like Krupp's, those companies survived because they kept the leadership. And so anyway, it was, I would assume if we ever get to a kind of a perfect world utopia, we'll have fascism, because it's just something that works with it. It's the best economic theory within a tyranny. The best economic theory is obviously pure freedom with some limitations. What we call a free market. AM Las Cruces is 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in, and 805-6180. If you call up during a clip, be a little bit patient with me. I'll get you on. But you're going to have a hard time hearing me. We'll be right back.
It's a long and twisting journey from the sleeping northern plains to the outskirts of the jungle, far beneath the tropic rain. In the customs hall, the officer takes you to one side, and his eyes reveal no feelings. You stand over the glass.
All right, so it's Weird Wednesday, and I thought, When Henrik Himmler's vast cache of books on witchcraft came up, they just found it a week or two ago, it'd be a great excuse to get into Nazism and what they actually believe. Now, here's a beautiful clip, kind of. I've got like five clips here. I won't be able to get to all of them, but just check this out as an overview of Nazism and their weird and superstitious beliefs.
A so-called race of Aryan Superman, spreading a reign of terror unlike any the world had ever known. Many believe the Nazis conjured strange spirits and followed occult practices that had lain dormant in Europe for thousands of years. Now documents prove that their beliefs were based on a perversion of ancient pagan law a twisting of mythic battles between forces of light and darkness, and a terrifying journey into a world ruled by mystics, madmen, and lovers.
Well, they've got a clip of this Aryan Mountain expedition. Let me get into the Holy Grail, this fixation that the Nazis had with the Holy Grail. Now, a normal person would value the Holy Grail either because it would be, if it was discovered and it was verified, would be worth an incalculable amount of money, the cup used at the Last Supper. Or they would value it because they would believe in the Bible and the associated aspects of it. Hitler and his men didn't believe in the Bible, but they did believe in the psychic or spiritual powers of some of these items. Now, check this out. This is very strange. Hitler's obsession with the Holy Grail.
In 1933, the Nazi Party seized power in Germany. But for Hitler, power was only a beginning. Should we form a chosen band? He asked a friend, made up of those who really know. An order, a brotherhood of the Knights of the Holy Grail, around the Holy Grail of the pure blood. The eternal life provided by the Grail is valid only for the truly pure and noble.
All right, so they look for the Holy Grail so that they could restart this society based on the power of the Holy Grail. All right, here is a little bit Nazi Aryan occult fellowship, and they believed in the strangest things. They believed in a hollow earth with people living inside of it.
Inhabited by an alien civilization.
It's the very beginning.
Thousands of people across the globe believe Earth is a hollow sphere inhabited by an alien civilization. I can see how this sounds silly, but the Nazi Party bought it hook, line, and sinker. In fact, the Third Reich took the hollow Earth theory seriously enough to send three expeditions to Antarctica starting in 1938. One of these missions was specifically designed to search for an entrance to the Earth's interior. Based on information from Arctic tribes, Tibetan shamans, and the Occult Pool Society, Nazis were convinced the possibility was worth investigating. They declared part of Antarctica Nazi territory and named it New Schwabia. If the interior of the Earth was, as they believed, both hollow and inhabited, the Nazis planned to contact these inhabitants and gather their support in the war on the surface world. The isolated location provided a perfect backdrop for other, more sinister experiments, submarine technology, invisible aircraft, nuclear power. I hear the British and U.S. military may have even sent fleets of ships down to stop the Nazi activities in Antarctica in an operation called High Jump. While this Project High Jump was officially listed as a reconnaissance mission, questions linger regarding the mysterious deaths of people involved.
All right, so the Nazis were absolutely crazy, and just like a person into conspiracy theories, they seem to believe everything but common sense. Now, here's a little bit more on this occult we'll squeeze in before the end of the hour.
A little-known occult group may have been an inspiration for one of the most terrifying ideologies of the 20th century. It formed a dark fellowship that was established nearly 100 years ago. It seems that its original members believed that they could live below the Earth's surface and fly to distant stars. Their power would be a mysterious substance called Vril. They also believed that one day they would take over the world. They came very close. The mysterious group claimed influence in the highest ranks of the German power structure of the 1930s. This dark fellowship may have been a Nazi cult.
All right, so you're getting the if you've been listening, you've got a strong taste of the insane worldview of the Nazis and how they would bring anything in. They would go for any angle, no matter how unlikely. They would, you know, they would execute all these people, which would seem to be the hallmark of the of a ruthless but serious group of people who's trying to, you know, push out their enemies and consolidate power, when in fact these people had ideas that were they to be examined by a competent psychologist might be characterized as insane. They had so many crazy ideas. And so one of the reasons that the Nazis lost the war is they were distracted by a lot of the nonsensical things that they were into. And, you know, you're putting your money into trying to find the origin of the Aryan race and see whether there was a portal to inside of the earth, and looking for the Holy Grail and bringing in all kinds of spiritualist ideas, trying to breed a master race. There was no public policy argument for killing all the Jews other than they blamed everything for it. Think of all the effort and money and time they put into the Nazi concentration camps for the Jews when they should have put all that into the war. I mean, the Nazis had the firepower and the army to take over Europe, but they made some poor decisions, undoubtedly as a result of Hitler's increasing erratic nature and mental instability. Anyway, thanks for listening in. Enjoyed spending today with you on Weird Wednesday. We'll come back and have a more traditional show tomorrow. I believe that James Dickens is coming on tomorrow to talk about the DA. And then on Friday, Mark D'Antonio rearranged his time to come on Friday. AM Massachusetts 1450 KOBE. And we'll see you back in 22 hours. Ciao.
You bought a little time, and once again, you're fading out of sight. Still the fog is growing over, it calls over a shoulder to the night. What do you want from me? What do you need from me? No rest for the running man, why can't you let him be?